We're going to do something a little differently tonight, and I'm going to actually talk about the passage that many of you probably know very well, and you've heard many times, which is the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2, and we're going to talk about it for a few minutes, and then I'm going to read it at the end. So part of what we're going to try to do is just to look at it in a new way, and particularly what we're going to do is focus in on the shepherds, and then I'll read the text to you. But does everybody remember the story, one of Dr. Seuss's most famous books, which is How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Even if you haven't read the book, you've probably seen one of the various cartoons or movies that was made about it, but the Grinch is arguably one of Dr. Seuss's most famous characters. And the story is about this unusual guy that's extremely difficult, that's pessimistic about anything. If some of us are people that are, we see a cup as half full and other people see it as half empty, the Grinch would think it doesn't matter at all because the water is dirty and we wouldn't want to drink it anyway. The Grinch sees pessimism in everything and doesn't like anything. And so the story is basically about the Grinch and how the Grinch encounters this town of Whoville, where the Whos live, and eventually he finds transformation through it. And for the past several weeks at Riverside, what we've been talking about is this type of transformation. We've been talking about asking questions of ourselves of what would it be like to say, in this Christmas season, how can we fully worship God? How can we name for what it is the things that our culture tells us, consumerism, all the things in our culture that are telling us that we have to buy lots of gifts and buy lots of stuff and race from place to place to get at family functions and prepare food? How can we bring Christmas back to its original intention, to what God intended when he gave us Jesus? And we routinely hear lots of different things in our culture about why this is the case in our culture, why it is that we have such a hard time focusing in on the things that are spiritual all around us. And we hear lots of different explanations. Everything from prayer has been taken out of public school to, you know, stores don't say Merry Christmas anymore, they just say Happy Holidays. But I think one of the things that is absolutely essential that doesn't get talked about as much is this idea that we've turned Christmas into a consumerism thing. We've turned Christmas into this day of the year where we buy things and only spend time with our family. And so what we want to talk about is how can we bring that back to Christ? The Christmas story, and particularly the one in Luke that talks about what happens with the shepherds, is a rebuke to this understanding of Christmas. The Christmas story is about the shepherds who are attending to their flocks of sheep. This is their job. By day, what they do is they watch after these sheep. And what the Christmas story says is that an angel comes and appears to them and tells them this: I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And they hear this news and are overjoyed by it to such an extent that they set off. They drop down what they're doing. They leave the sheep and they go to find this baby. They go to find this Savior. And at the end it says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. This text calls us to ask, are we this excited about this event? Is this our reaction to this news? Is this how we would have reacted if we were those shepherds tending our sheep that night? Do we stop what we're doing to praise and glorify our God? Do we care enough that we would stop everything and go and follow? I can remember as a kid, and maybe some of you have this experience too, I grew up in a small town, and everybody was pretty much within walking distance, if not running distance, to other people's house. And so if we wanted to play a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game, we would just run to our neighbor's house, we'd knock on the door, and we'd say, hey, Greg, come out, you want to come play baseball with us? And nearly immediately, no matter what he was doing, he would drop it, and we would get 10 people together to play some sort of sporting event. And this is what I picture when I read this text, is that the shepherds are that excited. They drop everything to go and find this baby. And now, granted, I know you're probably thinking the shepherds had a slight advantage. They had an angel that showed up. And I imagine that most of us think that if an angel had told us to do something, then we'd really do it. But I think we also have an advantage, too, because we know the end of the story. The shepherds didn't know the end of the story. They knew what the angel had told them. But we know the end of the story. We know that that baby Jesus grows up to be someone that puts on our skin, that walks with us, someone that eventually dies on a cross for us, that loves us, that heals. We know the end of the story. So we're caused, we're asked, we're forced to ask questions of ourselves. Could we do this? Are our priorities ordered in such a way that if this happened, and it's happening now as God beckons us, do we respond? Are there things in our lives that are holding us captive? Are there things that we'd run back and want to take care of? The shepherds didn't go back and kind of check on the sheep and make sure they took care and had someone watching over them. Are there things that we would? Would we go back and make sure the house is locked and everything is secure and the car is tightly put away in the garage? Or would we go? The angel's words to the shepherds was, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." I think there's several things, other things about the shepherds that I think are important for us to notice. The first one is that most of the time, when angels appear to people in the Bible to tell them of a birth, they appear to the parents. And so we find that already in Luke, the very beginning of Luke, an angel comes to Zechariah and tells him that him and Elizabeth are going to bear a son who's going to be John the Baptist. We know that an angel comes to Mary and Joseph and tell them that they're going to have a baby boy, Jesus. Well, in this circumstance, an angel comes to complete strangers, people of no familial relation to Jesus himself. And why is this? I think it is said in that in the passage that I read when the angels show up to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The difference here is that John the Baptist, in a sense, came to his parents. But there's something different about the birth of Jesus, that Jesus didn't just come for the Israelites, didn't just come for the Jews, didn't just come for Mary and Joseph, but that Jesus came for all people, everyone. And that includes us today. Second, I think it's important for us to realize what it must have been like for those shepherds that night. To be there in that field, just minding your own business, and to have an angel come to you. I imagine if I was in that circumstance, I would probably think there were aliens. I would think that the world was coming to an end. I have no idea what types of thoughts would run through my mind. But the angel immediately says to them, "Do not be afraid." And the angel announces Jesus' birth, and they're filled with this deep sense of excitement. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." At Jesus' birth, or at this event, when the angel appears to the shepherds, after the angel makes the announcement to them, it says that a great host of angels surrounded, and they sing together praise to God. And so there's a clear sense in this text, too, that something is very unique is happening. That this isn't just an event that is significant to us, but this is something that is significant to God's entire entourage. That all the heavens are rejoicing. All of creation is rejoicing at this event. And finally, I think it is fascinating that God chose to come and reveal this information to these shepherds. At this time in history, shepherds were not a very favored profession. I mean, they weren't very well educated. They were country folk that didn't know much, and all they were really good for that people thought was tending sheep. They were often considered poor, not simply because they didn't have much money, but because the Jews and other people in power just didn't think they were very significant. They weren't worth much. But in verse 20 it says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." When Jesus was born, the first evangelists, the first people given the responsibility of going and telling other people of what had happened, were these shepherds. He didn't choose the religious leaders. He didn't choose the powerful politicians. He chose these small, weak, meek shepherds. He already begins at his birth as a baby. You see what God is doing. Changing the systems. Changing the way that he relates. We have to believe that the shepherds' deep faith, as they went out and shared what they had seen, changed people's hearts. Changed their understanding of God. If we return back to the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas, there's a similar theme to that. If you remember how the story actually goes, the Grinch is this awful guy in complete misery. And he decides that he sees these Whos that are always so happy and everything seems fine. And he wants them to experience some of the pain and suffering that he has experienced. And so what's he decide to do? He decides to take their toys and their tricycles. And it says he also decides to take their pudding and their roast beef. At the first service, a little kid raised his hand and said turkey too. I didn't remember that. Maybe said turkey, but kid was pretty sure turkey was included. But he thought he could take away all these things and that he would take away the happiness and the joy that the people in Whoville were experiencing. And so he does this. And when the Whos wake up on Christmas morning, everything is gone. But instead of crying and wailing and fretting about all that had happened, the Whos never missed a beat. The fact that they were missing all their presents and all the trimmings and all the food didn't faze them one bit. All the things that the Grinch had taken were mere symbols of the most important and lasting values that they had. And so the Whos formed a big circle. They held hands with all their friends. Young and old, male and female, it says, they joined together in song, celebrating life and love, family and friends. Nothing that was truly important to them was missing on that Christmas morning. Everything that was important was present. And the Whos recognized what was so important. It's important for us in this Christmas season to truly recognize what is important. That God does indeed give us a gift. And the gift He gives us is Jesus. He gives us Himself. He gives us His presence to be with us. Not just in that historic event which we celebrate at Christmas, but right here, right now, He promises to be present with us. At the very end of the story of the Grinch says this. Maybe Christmas, it says he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And it was this understanding that enabled the Grinch's undersized heart to grow 3 sizes. Christmas does mean a little bit more, especially to us. In fact, it means a lot more. And the shepherds in this passage in Luke understood this. The Savior of the world had come. And the Savior of the world has come to us. Christmas did not just change the world 2,000 years ago. Christmas is still changing our world today. Jesus didn't come to hang out and do some cool miracles. He didn't come just to spend time with people. Jesus came for us. He came to be amongst us. He walked with us, He laid His hands on us, He healed us. He embraced us, He laughed with us, He cried with us. He died with us, and He resurrected with us. The Bible says that Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Tonight we remember that God came to be with us, and tonight we remember that He invites us not to admire Him from afar, but to be in deep, intimate relationship with Him. If you haven't committed to giving your heart to Him and being in that relationship, now is the time to do that. If you've lost your way and need to rediscover God, now is the time to do that. It is time. If you've lost your way, you need to rediscover Him. If you think you're where you need to be, if you feel like you're in a right relationship with God, now is the time to rejoice in that, to experience His presence fully. At Riverside, we're going to very intentionally in this upcoming year, in 2010, try to walk through the Bible together. And this is for people that have read the Bible 3 or 4 times. This is for people that have often been in church and talked about God, but they've never really spent the time trying to get to know Him. And so at Riverside, we're calling this the Essential 100 Challenge. And so what we're going to try to do, what we are going to do, is read 100 passages from the Bible, 50 from the Old Testament, and 50 from the New Testament. And we're going to start at the very beginning of January, this upcoming year. And I would encourage you, if you desire to know our God more, if you desire to fully receive the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ, and to understand Him and to get to know Him, that this is where we begin in studying His Word to us, His revelation. And the back table in the back, there's a sign up that you can sign up if you're interested in participating in this Bible reading plan. There's also the actual plan, so you can take the information and tell you what scripture passages we'll be reading. But I encourage you to begin here, to begin this day, this Christmas celebration, in our journeys together to get to know our Lord. Now let's read the text in Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible that's sitting with you or you brought one, you can follow along. If not, just listen, and particularly listen to what it is that God is doing with the shepherds in this passage. It's Luke chapter 2. It says, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Amen.